Two balls and two strikes on him. Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Hello and welcome to the inaugural edition of Touch 'Em All, a baseball analytics podcast. This is the official podcast of TouchEmAllAnalytics.com. I am your host, Caleb Whittemore. I'm also the founder and executive editor at TouchEmAllAnalytics.com. For this podcast today, it's going to be a little bit of an overview, kind of a pilot episode. We're going to give you guys an idea of what to expect on a normal podcast. It's going to probably be a little shorter than normal. We're just going to start off, just kind of go over Touch 'Em All Analytics, what we're about there. We're going to go over my story. We'll then get into some more analytical stuff by going over some statistics that I currently really like and don't like. We'll then go over some current events in baseball as we're kind of around the All-Star break and some of the trades that have been going on. And we'll wrap up with some housekeeping and get you guys on your way. So like I said, my name is Caleb, and I founded Touch 'Em All Analytics about a month ago. I am a college student aspiring to work in a front office, either in the scouting or analytics department. I'm currently in my second year as an intern in the Boston Red Sox minor league system. I've done everything from operations to I'm now a supervisor of promotions. I've also began this year scouting for a private company that scouts the Boston Red Sox farm system. I'm doing that mostly in Portland, which is their double-A team, and Lowell, which is their short season A team. Before we get any further, no, this is not a Red Sox podcast. I just happen to live in the New England area, so my current opportunities in baseball have been with the Red Sox, but we're going to do our very best to keep this very unbiased and factual. The purpose of Touch 'Em All Analytics is to make baseball analytics understandable and enjoyable for every type of baseball fan. So whether you're listening to this and, you know, you're just a casual baseball fan, you don't really understand the analytical parts, or you're listening to this and you're very avid, you know, you may be like me and are aspiring to work in analytics or scouting, I want you to be able to get something from it regardless. So we're going to talk analytically, but I'm also going to make sure to take the time to explain some things as well. So, to start to kind of get into what we really want to talk about today, the first thing I'd like to talk about is batting average. And batting average to me is a very flawed statistic that I think is used way too much. And the reason is that it's only really looking at the percent of at-bats that result in hits. Okay, it doesn't factor in things like walks. Walk is a great thing, just ask Mike Trout, best player in baseball. And it takes everything from a single to a home run as the same. So if you get up there and you bloop one in between the second baseman and the shortstop, that is going to look the same as if you hit a home run 450 feet. And that's just not realistic, right? One of those things is much more valuable to a win than the other. A couple of different options that I really like are OPS and OPS plus, or weighted runs created or weighted runs created plus. So we're going to start off kind of going into what those mean. OPS stands for on base plus slugging. So it adds together the amount of time you're just purely getting on base plus your slugging percentage, which factors in whether you're hitting singles, doubles, triples, or home runs. And OPS plus takes that even a little bit further. It factors in the park you're playing at. So if you're hitting a home run at Coors Field, it's not going to look as good as hitting one someplace else. And then it averages it. So everything averages out to 100. So for instance, if you have an OPS plus of 125, to that statistic, you are 25% better than the average MLB player. Weighted runs created plus is a little bit different. That's just more calculating through a very, very long statistic that I won't, or metric that I won't get in with you guys. But it's essentially calculating how many runs you're responsible for. And like OPS plus, it takes it, averages it at 100. So if you're at 150, you're 50% better. If you're at just standard 50, you're 50% worse than average. I like both of these. I think they make a lot better picture. If you just take standard, our statistics today, I don't have to be in Boston to tell you that Mookie Betts is having a phenomenal season, okay? He's leading the league in batting average, which, like I said, I don't love, but it does show right there. He's also leading the league in OPS and in weighted runs created plus. In fact, his weighted runs created plus this year is 202, which means per that statistic, he is about twice the average player. Where it gets into the weeds after that is after Mookie Betts. It doesn't, I don't think, really paint a picture of who's best. Because if you look at average, I'll just pull this up real quick. Batting average, it goes Jose Altuve, J.D. Martinez, Scooter Jeanette, Gene Segura, etc. You don't get to a player like Mike Trout, who's having a phenomenal season, until 15th. Granted, the players in the top of that list are still very good. They're not Mike Trout. I don't think that's really something that's contested at this point. He's incredible. However, if you pull up weighted runs created plus, he is second to only Mookie Betts, so 187. He is also second in OPS and OPS plus. The reasoning for this is Mike Trout is incredible at drawing walks. Okay, he is currently averaging 19.6% walk percentage. That is the best in the league. And so his average may not be great because, like I said, average isn't being considered in this. But that doesn't mean he's not a good player. He's still getting on base. He's still doing things to help his team win. His batting average just isn't factoring that. So I think that paints a pretty good picture of kind of my issue with batting average. I get it. It's simple. The typical fan can understand it really easily. But my goal is to get some of these other statistics more understandable so that even the average fan can use those and make more informed decisions on who's good. Kind of go off on a rabbit trail a little. One of my least favorite things about going to a game are just sitting with people, whether it's someone I brought or someone around me that just wants to talk about baseball. Like, they know everything when their information is really not correct. But just thinking about it, it's not really their fault, because the information that really matters in baseball circles that I may have access to because of my background is not easily accessible to just the average fan. So we're hoping to kind of get all fans educated on this way. So now that we went over our stat, I'm going to try to do something like that in every episode. Let's take a look at some of the current events going on in baseball right now. Obviously, if you've been watching ESPN or reading Twitter or anything lately, you've heard there's been two really big trades that happened right after the All-Star game as we're kind of going into the second half of the season. The first one was Manny Machado heading over to the Dodgers in exchange for five prospects. And then obviously the Brad Hand deal headed to Cleveland. So we'll start off with the Manny Machado deal. I really like both of these deals. I'll start off by saying that Manny Machado is an incredible player, obviously. The Orioles had a decent run with him. They're not succeeding anymore. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, obviously. He's looking to get paid. They just, one, don't have the money to re-sign him. And two, even if they did, where they are with their organization, it just wouldn't be smart to spend that much money. So what they did was they went out and got what they could. What they could get was five prospects, including Yasiel Diaz. So we'll kind of look at what that does for them first. Manny Machado, great player, obviously. He's projected to average about three more wins added for the rest of the season. So, you know, contrary to the popular opinion, that really does help the Orioles. If they lose three more games because they don't have Machado, that's more of a chance they could win the worst record in the league, essentially, and get that first pick. I also really do like Diaz. He's a good player. Just looking at his statistics, he's in his second year in Double A. He's a 21-year-old outfielder. I know I just said I don't like average, but he's hitting over 300 in Double A for the second straight year. He's had a WRC plus in Double A, over 140 for the second straight year. He's got a career high in walk percentage at 15.5%, which is very good. He's got his strikeouts down, career low, and 14.8. Again, really good. He looks like he could be a really good player. I believe he will end up very soon going to AAA for the Orioles one because their system is a little weaker. If he succeeds there, hell, he may even make his way up to the majors at 40-man call-ups. They're not playing for anything. If he's hitting well, I really wouldn't be surprised to see him get a run in September. He was the big piece. We're not going to really look into the lower prospects. So let's take a look kind of now at what Machado does for the Dodgers. I like this on both sides. Machado's having a great year hitting. He's got a 156 WRC plus. He's already been responsible for 3.8 wins this season. Strikeout percentage down to 12%, which is very good, especially for today's baseball. He is only walking at a 10% clip. Not great. It's okay for him. Right around average. Nothing special either way. He's also obviously an incredible defender, especially incredible third baseman. He is going to play shortstop with the Dodgers. I still believe he's above average at shortstop. And it really makes them have a very good chance at a World Series coming up here. Obviously, Corey Seager went down earlier this year. That was tough for them. But he really fills that hole. So if you kind of look at it now, their normal lineup is looking like it's going to be Yasmani Grandal at catcher. They'll move Max Muncy over to first base. Chris Taylor will go over to second base. Machado will slot right in at shortstop. Like I said, Justin Turner will play third. Jock Peterson will play left field. Cody Bellinger will make the move out to center. And they'll have Matt Kemp, who's had a great resurgence this year in right field. That is a scary lineup. That is a lineup that can definitely compete for a World Series. I would say that probably puts them as the favorite, especially if you look at the way they're already starting to perform before they got them. I'd say they're the favorite to come out of the NL. The other thing I like about them is I don't think it's a huge risk. Obviously, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Who knows? Odds are he's not going to resign there. It's been rumored a lot that he really likes the Phillies, really likes the Yankees. Is looking in one of those two directions. But having said that, the Dodgers do have Corey Seager coming back. He's going to be their shortstop next year. So they have a couple options. They could take him for the year, try to win a championship, say thank you, kind of like the Cubs did with Aroldis Chapman, and let him be on his way. Or, they could make a move at him if they really like him. Say they win a World Series, that's probably pretty good incentive for Machado to at least consider staying. So they could try to re-sign him, give him the $30-plus million he's probably looking for a year, and move another guy out of that infield. Obviously, you're going to need to make room for Seager next year, but they're going to have some flexibility on how they want to do that. So all in all, I think it's a win-win for both people, both parties. Machado gets to chase his ring. The Dodgers get a good player to help them, and the Orioles get to bolster their farm system a little. So now let's move into the second trade I wanted to talk about. That is the Brad Hand trade. That'll move Brad Hand from the San Diego Padres to the Indians, Cleveland Indians, in exchange for Francisco Mejia. He is a catcher / outfield prospect for the Indians. He's going to, like I said, be moving over to the Padres. I think this is a win-win for both. Obviously, the Padres are not in the greatest shape overall right now. So this will give them a chance to retool. Let's take a look here at Brad Hand's stats so far this year. He's obviously their closer. He's got an ERA right around 3 in 44 innings pitched. He's responsible for about a win so far this year. Striking out a career high, it looks like 13 batters per 9 innings. Overall, just very dominant closer. one of the best in the game. He's really going to help the Indians push as, you know, they push for the postseason. Obviously, they pretty much have their division locked up. They haven't had the greatest season, more just a product of being in a poor division, but they're definitely looking to get prepared for the postseason coming down the line. And they move, like I said, Francisco. He's one of my favorite prospects in the game, to be honest. I really like him. So far, you know, he's been scouted. They believe he could be an above average player. Absolute elite arm strength. Very a solid fielder, maybe slightly below average, but a good fielder. You know, speed in the average to slightly below range, but he can hit well. He's got solid power, slightly above average power. Just overall a good player. I've heard, you know, he's obviously been playing some outfield. I think that will probably continue this year with that team. Obviously, their catching situation is pretty fine right now. I don't think he's going to be one of those guys who just moves strict to the outfield. I know Harper did it, obviously. He was a big catching prospect before he moved. The difference with Francisco is I think he isn't going to be such a great hitter that it's in the outfield. He may not, his skills may not be quite as valuable. His above average hit with his average power is a definite plus behind the plate, especially with his arm. I could almost compare him to like a Gary Sanchez kind of catcher defensively, a little bit different offensive approach. But neither of them are incredible defensive catchers, but have both have a absolutely elite arm strength that can make up for it. His pop times are always going to be really good, even if his transfer isn't great, because of his ability to sling the ball. Most scouts have him rated as an 80 arm. If you don't know what that means, that's essentially Hall of Fame caliber arm. Not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer, just saying his arm strength is to that level. So I really like that for both teams. It gives the Padres the ability to start to retool around a guy like Francisco. And, you know, Brad Hand obviously moving to a contender where he can, you know, help fill one of their needs. So that's going to do it for our the baseball side. I would like to do a couple of housekeeping things before I jump off here. If you like what you heard, make sure you tell a friend, leave a review, and subscribe. I'm looking right now, hopefully, to put out about a podcast a week. Not totally sure at this point. If you have any feedback on that, whether you'd like me to do it on a certain day or more than once a week or whatever, you can definitely feel free to reach out and let me know. Please follow and support my project at Touch 'Em All. You can do that. Our website is Touch 'Em All Analytics, so it's Touch, E-M-A-L-L, analytics.com. Twitter is Touch 'Em All, spelled the same way, Touch, E-M-A-L-B-B, so Touch 'Em All B-B. Facebook and Instagram are both Touch 'Em All, spelled the same way as the website. I'll definitely make sure to put that in the bio of the podcast as well. You can definitely contact us for questions. You can do that on social media or through our website. You can also email us at touchemallanalytics@gmail.com. Like I said, any questions or comments, I'd definitely love to read anything you have to say at this point. If you have questions, I'll be happy to respond to them to you personally, as well as I would read them over the podcast and answer them to the public as well. Like I said, looking to do a podcast next week. One other thing, if you know, prefer something a little more in-depth or you prefer articles, that's another big part of what we're doing here at Touch 'Em All Analytics. We have a blog going right now. There's currently two sections to the blog. One is what we call Analytics by the Editor. That is a portion written completely by me, doing essentially the same thing, educating on different types of baseball analytics and ways I think it can be improved. The second section is called the Analytics Beat. That is written by different writers that I know in my circle that I've met through the industry, that are, you know, believe in my goals and want to help that succeed. So you can read that on our website. Definitely feel free to give that a shout out. Let anybody know about that. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. And I'll talk to you next time.
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.